Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded 15th April, 2012. This episode's a little different than normal. My buddy Bjorn stops by. We're just going to hang out and have a good time. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, we're here with Bjorn tonight. Mics are set up different, so you're going to hear a lot more background noise than you usually do. Every time I lean in my chair, you're going to hear this horrible squeak, and every time we belch and everything else, you're going to get a lot of fun sounds. So hopefully it's not too bad. So how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing. How about you?
Eh, I can complain, but nobody cares if I do, so.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, a lot of that don't know any better comes... Oh, you know what? Okay, I know what we got to talk about. Because I haven't covered this yet.
Right.
We need to explain... first, I got to warn you. When I'm doing these, I'm trying not to swear like we usually do.
So, PG, huh?
Right. For us, it's going to be a big challenge because...
Yeah.
For those listening that don't know, Bjorn and I work together in a blacksmith shop, and we operate on the principle of magic swear words.
Very true.
There's a lot of cases where, you know, something that is really difficult goes a lot easier when you use the right terms in the right order at the right volume. But yeah, because I know a lot of people are probably sharing these shows with, like, their grandma and stuff. And if that's the case, you know, grandma's probably getting into some really interesting music. We're going to have some fun stuff in this episode, so... yeah, that'll be... Yeah, I can see now. Grandma? Who keeps downloading all this psychobilly music on my computer?
What is this eight ball grifter you speak of?
But we need to explain the cases of past us screwing future us, because I haven't touched on that yet, and it's actually important.
Yeah, that is incredibly important. It applies to any aspect and anything that you're involving doing something, be it work, school, relationships,
well,
whatever.
You know, the whole show is kind of about getting through everyday emergencies and getting through, you know, just all the little everyday stuff that crops up, you know, getting stuck in a snowstorm or having the power go out or blowing a tire or whatever, you know. And this is really a case of past you not screwing future you.
Yeah.
And what that means is, our shop buddy Nick came up with this precept. One day, Nick, I don't know, do you know this story? How this all came about?
I think so, because I remember him coming in this shop and talking about something and saying how he screwed himself over and he was pissed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened was, Nick was working about, probably a mile and a half, 2 miles away from where he lived at the time. And Nick looked out the window in the morning and went, you know what, it's a beautiful day. I'm walking to work today. And about, 4 in the afternoon, I happened to see Nick online. I said, hey, Nick, how's it going? Oh, not so good. What's the matter, man? Well, past Nick screwed future Nick pretty bad, and current Nick isn't very happy about it. So how did past Nick screw future Nick? Well, past Nick thought it was a good idea to walk to work. Present Nick has noticed that it's raining outside, and that means that future Nick is going to get real wet going home. So that was how that whole thing came to pass, and before all was said and done, future Nick got real wet. And was really, really miffed at past Nick. And then there's a bunch of cases where, you know, where you and I have had our past selves screw our current and future selves pretty horribly.
The Vice.
Oh, that was bad. Nobody knows about that, fortunately.
Mm.
Some of the projects we do, it's just better we don't videotape because, oh wow.
Or going out to the first time I went to Mayfair with you, and we show up there at Dark 30 to throw up a tent in the middle of the night with a whole bunch of drunk Rennies around us wanting to talk.
Oh yeah, that was definitely a case. We probably rolled in, I don't know, 11:30, something like that. And of course, you know, everybody wants to come over and say hey and stuff, but they're also so trash they're not helpful. And, you know, it's sometimes the case where, you know, past us screws future somebody else, though, because that was where somebody came up to us and said, hey, I'm new here. Can you guys give me a Renfair name?
Oh, jeez. That's just asking for trouble, someone coming up and saying that to us. Chucky or Tinkerbell, as she's better known.
Yep.
And this is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Tinkerbell, he comes over in the morning. And he says, hey, is IA up yet? And Bjorn's outside having a smoke and standing there and trying to get functional with the world. None of us had coffee yet or anything like that. And that didn't go too well for him. So, yeah, we'll skip that. That was... that's not PG.
No.
But it was funny. So, at any rate, basically, you know, if past you doesn't screw future you's a whole lot more happy. Except for it won't be future you when it happens, it'll be present you. The whole thing gets really convoluted and complicated, so you probably need a flowchart to actually keep track of what's going on, but, you know.
Right.
That's neither here nor there.
I'm going to say there's something with Drago or the Vikings, too. There's a chance of where we kind of hose ourselves over on that one. Or
oh, yeah,
the past
probably.
Us hose the future us on that. And it's something to do with the tent stakes, if I remember right. Because it seemed like the whole fair, Olaf or someone else from the Vikings was like, hey, can you maybe throw a few more stakes or a few more tripods?
That just kept getting me more and more and more. I don't even know how many it ended up being. And now, you know, that's one of those funny things. I haven't actually talked about all the weirdness of blacksmithing in this show a whole lot. We go to a lot of shows off in the distance, and I don't even know if you know about this one or not, but back in, oh, geez, early 90s, I had a bust-up pickup truck that the tailgate didn't go down on, and I had the forge and anvil, everything loaded into it. We were headed up for Hartwick Pines. I had been... working with Edgar Strubel, doing different shows locally. He'd come up to the area. He was from our area. He'd come up and we'd go on tour for a couple of weeks. And in this, I ended up meeting one of the local police officers, Dave Lasconis, who has since passed on. Dave was just kind of a big, odd-looking fellow, kind of a lumpy-headed guy. I found out Dave was a Black Powder Civil War reenactor.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and... you know, Dave and I had been to a lot of the same events together and been to a lot of the same shoots together and stuff, but just never actually crossed paths. You know, there's enough people around, you know, you don't remember everybody.
Right.
And so Dave says, well, can you make 10 stakes? Yeah, I can make 10 stakes. What do you need? He says, well, I need some really big ones. All right. Yeah, that's no big deal. We get all the details hashed out and stuff. Now, it's about, 11 o'clock at night. I'm driving along out through the Manistee National Forest in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing. There's no lights, nothing. The only lights are coming off this vehicle. All of a sudden, it's Christmas. There's, you know, it's the Vegas Strip. There's just lights flashing everywhere. And I don't know where this cruiser's come from. But this cruiser just appeared behind me. As far as I could tell, I was towing it. And so I pull over, and I'm trying to think, you know, is my license plate light out? You know, I know I wasn't speeding. You know, what the heck is this?
It's funny, because that's the exact same thing that happened to us from Mayfair 1 year, too.
Oh, yeah. Coming back. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exact same way, too. All of a sudden, it was just there in a beat-up pickup truck. Strange how that works out, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because we'll come back to that. Remind me of that.
All right.
So Dave walks up, and I don't realize it's him. And I don't necessarily recognize him in uniform because I'd only seen him in his leathers and stuff, his Black Powder stuff, or in street clothes, you know. He walks up, leans in the window. I've got my driver's license and stuff out, and he goes, "You got my 10 stakes?" Holy crap, man! Well, you know what the hell? he stopped me like four times, different times along the way. You know, I mean, there was, I'd be going to the movies or something, you know, all of a sudden the police car would whip around and chase me down. You got my 10 sticks? I thought, you know, maybe I should start carrying them with me or something. And eventually he got them from me. And then he just stopped me to, you know, tell me, oh, yeah, I was set up at, you know, this shoot up here, and somebody else liked them a lot. You know, I need to get some business cards from you. Oh, that's going to be really loud.
Just the beginning of the end right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just crazy stuff. Bjorn and I were coming back from Mayfair, and Bjorn's driving, and were you driving? I don't remember.
You were driving. I don't know. Sitting shotgun.
I can't remember. They all blend together after a while.
Yeah.
And the girls had gone ahead in the van, so we're following up the rear of the truck. And just out of the blue, this police cruiser just appears behind us and all kinds of lights and stuff. And I don't even remember why he did stop us. I think we had a plate light out or something like that.
Something like that,
thing like that. So he stops us just to see, and he comes walking up, and he kind of shines his light in the back, and he stops. Uh-oh, this is going to be fun. And he comes up alongside. I think what happened was, you know, he saw the stuff in the back, and he thought we were all, like, robbing, you know, weird antique stores or something. What are you boys doing? We're blacksmiths. Oh, that explains the anvil.
He says, yeah, whose rucksack is that?
Yeah. And we got all this weird gear in the back end, and before it was all said and done, we stood there and, you know, hung out and talked to him for a while. But, and, you know, that's probably another thing too. In all this stuff, I don't know how many of the back episodes you've listened to already.
Not too many of them. I haven't had a chance to. School has pretty much kept me preoccupied with everything.
Well, you know, that's a good thing though. I go through and talk about, like, car kits and stuff like that a lot.
Right.
Same stuff we normally, you know, have done forever and a day.
To a degree normal for us, but not so much normal for everyone else. I mean, how many people carry an anvil in the back of their car, too?
Well, that's a little more extensive than most people's car kits, yes. But basically, you know, at some point, there's a good chance somebody's going to get stopped and, you know, a cop's going to walk up and go, why do you have a tub full of food in the back? You know, in the middle of summer, it's kind of hard to explain. Well, in case I get stuck in a snowstorm or something, but
well,
you know,
you never know when you get hungry.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, why pay for food when you got it with you?
Exactly, and that's the other thing. You know, a lot of this show is about saving money just by, you know, by not being stupid. I know that V on Ranges Radio has talked about this quite a bit. He was he'd figured out, and I can't remember all the specifics in this. I have to go back and listen to the episode. He had figured out that basically he saved himself something like 30 pounds a week when he was traveling to work just by bringing his own food and things, not buying stuff. You know, it was like a pound for a bottle of water.
Right.
You know, so $1.50 American for a bottle of water.
Yeah.
You know, water he could have brought from home for free.
Yeah. And more of it, too, technically.
Yeah.
And the what he put it in.
Because I think it was like a half liter or liter, something like that. And it wasn't a huge amount.
Right.
And so he figured out that he was saving quite a bit a week just by, you know, just by being smart and packing his own kit. And a lot of people, it's funny to me because a lot of people go camping and they'll buy the stupidest crap to go camping with.
Yeah.
You know, they will go out and buy, you know, they'll buy water on the way instead of bringing it from home.
Yeah.
Well, okay, if you're getting distilled water or something like that, you're not going to have any weird effects from it, you know, because obviously if you're going camping somewhere you're not used to the whatever's in the local water, you could spend most of the camping trip in the can.
Yeah.
But if you can bring it from home, you know, and you got the room, why not? You know, okay, it's a little extra weight in the vehicle, but it's not.
Well, I mean, even in that sense, too, is proof enough of that was just by going to a Kuwait and Iraq and just the difference in how they cook their food with the oils.
Yeah.
Was proof enough that how it just messed us up something bad too.
Well, I know that when we were out in Arizona, I mean, you obviously had the exact same thing. You know, you didn't go out in the desert without water.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a one way trip.
Well, one of the interesting things I learned about with social problems in that class is they're talking about the environment as a social problem and our effects on it. And one of the things that people don't realize is that. Bottled water or bottled anything, be it water, pop, Gatorade, Powerade, whatever, after a certain amount of time, it's that plastic's exposed to sunlight, it starts to deteriorate and it gets into the water. So you're on top of drinking whatever's already in your drink as far as like the carbonation or calories or whatever, you also have the contaminants from the bottle itself. And that's a huge issue as far as like a person's health and even the environment these days. So it's almost better to have like your own glass bottle or canteens or something to keep it in instead of relying on store-bought items like that.
A lot of the times I've suggested people, like, you know, we'll take a 2-liter bottle and clean it out or something, but they want to keep changing it out.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to leave it in the car for 6-8 months.
The best thing I realized with that class is when it comes to plastic bottles, if you're going to go and do that, use that with the intent of using it once and only once, and then make sure you dispose of it properly.
See, now there's a good tip I didn't have before. It really does make good sense to have one-use items like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of a disposable society, but this stuff can be recycled. Easily.
Right, but even now, there's a whole issue about recycling and stuff like that, too, that a lot of the stuff that we supposedly are recycling is ending up, like, out in the lake, Michigan, or out in the oceans, even.
Yeah.
There's, like, huge trash piles of just bottles and plastic floating around out in the oceans everywhere now.
There's going to be a weird point in the future where we're going to start harvesting that as a natural resource.
Oh yeah, there's small like plastic chips like the size of like your pinky fingernail that are like just coating beaches out in the Pacific. It's ridiculous.
At some point, somebody's going to get smart and get rich as snot when they figure out how to mine that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go out and start... I actually know a guy... here locally in Michigan, who goes out to the beach and scoops up the black sand.
Yep.
The black sand in Michigan is mostly iron dust. Comes down from the UP, but there's quite a bit of gold mixed into it.
Right.
And he's melting it down for the gold. He's getting an ounce of gold out of every, I think he said about every 300, 400 pounds of black sand. You know, ounce of gold ain't bad.
Yeah.
You know, this day, it's not too bad.
Especially the price of gold increasing like it is.
And I says, well, what are you doing with all that iron you're getting? Oh, excuse me. Oh, that's going to be really loud. And he says, well, I've just been selling that back to the recyclers. I says, dude, you know, that stuff right there is absolutely pure, no carbon, beautiful iron. You know, I know some guys that will buy that stuff from you for top dollar because you can't get pure iron anymore. Even, you know, the stuff we consider to be iron is now low-grade steel.
Yeah.
And in making knives, it doesn't hold an edge at all. It can't be hardened at all.
Right.
But the trade-off is, in a pattern welder blade and Damascus blade... it gives you an absolutely black band, which looks fantastic.
That'd be sweet, yeah.
Makes the blade more flexible. And when you etch it back, that softer metal etches away, so you get a micro serration along the edge, so the edge is a more aggressive cutter. That's something we haven't covered on the radio show at all, is all that kind of weird information I've got.
That'd be sweet.
I know that V has talked about down the road wanting me to do, and unfortunately, this is where future you and I get screwed.
Okay.
V wants us to go through and do a bunch of bushcraft blacksmithing videos.
Okay.
What we're going to probably do is go somewhere out in the woods, dig a ground forge, use wood and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
To
make
do
charcoal.
It. Yeah, do it the hard way.
Yep.
You know, the lots of swearing way. It's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just, because we're talking about, me and like Cam and a few other people have been talking about camping out at Pentwater this summer.
Yeah, maybe, just up the road from here.
Yeah.
Up the way.
I mean, it'd be a good time to do that, but...
Actually, that might be the place and time to do it for a couple of reasons. One, we got medical assistance if we screw up.
Mm-hmm.
two, we've got a lot of people to laugh at us when we screw up.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot more fun when you make a horrible mistake and you get somebody to laugh at you.
Or we just bring V out here and have him go through with it and do it, and we tell him what he's got to do.
Well, you know, we were trying to come up with a way to get V over to the States, because I think that'd be great fun. I'd love to get all the Rangers over, V and Kevin and Graf and everybody over. Drag Harlequin up from Australia and bring him out here and go, okay, guys, you know, you... Because they go wild camping in England. Okay?
Right.
England is so settled across the nation. And I've watched these videos and stuff. If you watch Back and Beyond on YouTube, you can hear vehicles in the distance.
Right.
He's not really that far out.
Right.
There are places not too far from here that we can take you out that the only thing you're going to hear is maybe a plane go over.
Yeah.
You know, there's no humans for 10 miles in any direction.
Yeah, it's quick to go out in the middle of nowhere here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right straight out.
East of here.
Yeah, the festival grounds out there.
Yeah.
There's no houses that I'm aware of for a good 6-8 miles.
Right.
And well, there's some places out here that we could go wild camp that is really wild.
Right.
You know?
I would say we could go west too, but we're going to be like incredibly wet, and that wouldn't be much fun either.
Driving tent stakes in the middle of Lake Michigan is kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Although when I was a kid, a few friends and I had this horrible idea. We wanted to build a big barrel raft.
Right.
Only we were going to be kind of screwed up. We wanted to make a Viking longship barrel raft.
Right.
So you could have a tent on the deck and a whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And we wanted to get into like these Venetian boat parades and stuff like that. They have these boat parades up and down the coast here.
That'd be sweet.
And, one of the boat parades that particularly stood out, you go up the river through the town, and there's two drawbridges over the river that everybody comes out and stands on and watches the boat parade go through.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to, you know, do this like long ship. Everybody's going to make, it's a leather headband with horns on it.
Right.
And you got a helmet on top of that, so it looks like you got a horn helmet on, but when you go underneath the bridge, you take the helmet off and the horns are still there.
Kind of like a History of the World
part
one.
Yeah.
At the end, witness a pagan funeral and the Vikings take their helmets off and they still have horns on their heads.
That's exactly where we swiped the idea from. And so that was, you know, that was one of those points that we came up with a horrible idea that passed us, you know, went, ooh, this looks like fun. And fortunately, future us were smart enough to realize, wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And that's going to end horribly.
Yeah.
You know, if we have a Viking longship raft, at some point we're going to get a stupid idea like, you know, let's try and sail to Wisconsin.
You know, that seems to be a common theme in all the projects we do. I mean, look at some of the projects we've done for Airsoft with our customizing and building our own Airsoft pistols.
It just comes down to we don't know any better.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. Well, look at me playing out that one crossbow, and you're like, you might want to be careful with that. It tends to fire on its own.
Yeah, they're...
What do you... Twink. Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I wasn't looking at that.
Yeah, I'm going to clean from the... I'm going to die from the same hereditary disease my ancestor died from, cleaning their unloaded crossbows.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things that we just don't know any better sometimes. And somehow I ended up with a radio show that basically is taking all of the what this really comes from is everything I've done wrong.
Right.
I learned how not to do things wrong, and so I'm telling people how to do stuff without really telling them the horrible stories behind how I found out some of this stuff.
Right.
About 1985, 86, somewhere in there. I had a girlfriend that lived down south of me, and there'd been an ice storm, but, you know, the sun came out and everything looked pretty clear.
Right.
This is how I discovered all kinds of stuff about when you're stuck.
Right.
I had a Dodge Valiant, not known for being the best car in the world to begin with.
Right.
I get about halfway there. I'm at a spot out in the middle of nowhere. I'll take you out there someday. You'll love it. When you get there, you'll stand in the corner and go, yep, you're a moron. I come up to this corner, and you're coming into a kind of a 45-degree angle corner. And when you come into the corner, you come over the banking on the corner, the banking that's facing the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ice sheet is tilted.
Right.
and covered in water.
Nice.
Which is a lot like driving on buttered glass.
Yeah.
So I'm now in the ditch, and there's nobody around. You know, I haven't seen a house for about 6 miles.
Right.
I know there's a couple houses down the way off to the right that's, you know, only a mile away, but they're summer cottages. I start looking around. There's nobody out here. Not a mile away from there, another trip, another season, I managed to discover that, yes, indeed, there really is quicksand in Michigan. And sometimes it's in the road.
Ugh.
There's a place, yeah, there's a place that we can go. We could go tonight just because we're stupid, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff. You know, yesterday would have been good when it was raining really good. We could have gotten out there and gotten stuck.
Oh, yeah.
The road, for some reason, they decided to fill this section of the road with sand. And the reason they had to fill this section of the road is because it kept washing out.
Right.
Every time it washed out, they went, well, crap, we got to put something back in there because this is supposed to be a road.
Right.
Instead of just being bright and going, you know what, this is not a good spot for a road. This is a river that we put a road across.
Yeah.
Or putting a culvert in or a bridge or something like that. No, they put sand. And so the rain comes down on the hill and then flows down into that sandy spot. And that sand just sort of floats there as liquid mud.
Nice.
Which the Plymouth Valiant doesn't do real well on.
They're not known for floating.
No. And so I come bombing down this road one beautiful spring day. And all of a sudden, you know, the car kind of got a little squirrely and went sideways. And, well, that's weird, you know. And came to a stop. Oh, that's not good. I broke something, you know. Drive shaft fell off. It was a high quality car. You know?
Yeah,
that sort
yeah.
of thing happened. Going down the road one day, I felt this weird bump. And the car skidded to a stop on the gravel road. And, oh, that's not good. The hell is this? I get out. Well, the front bumper had fallen off. It was stuck underneath the back tires. The front tires went over it, got stuck into the back tires, and stopped the car. So I got out and put the bumper in the trunk and kept going. You know, got back home and tied it back on. But yeah, good car.
Well, yeah, I didn't tell you what I did the last couple of times with the rainstorms we've had here. Traveling through Muskegon, and Muskegon's not known for having good drains on their roads, so you know they get quite a bit of standing water in the middle of the road. I'm cruising along, hit the puddle, throw water everywhere, and do what you're supposed to do, you know, just hammer down and ride it out. Hit another one, and of course, there has to be something coming at me from the other lane, and something in the same lane as me, so I really can't get out of the water. So, what do? Instead of riding it out, I let off the gas, and forgetting I have a hole in the exhaust, suck in a whole crap load of water on it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Then the sputtering and dying the whole way after that.
That's fun.
Yeah. It just, yeah. So yeah, talk about, you know, putting it off, fixing something, and then hosing your future self in that sense. I'll be all right.
It'll be fine. No worries.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Well, kind of like with the special coal that we had.
We haven't discussed that yet.
Yeah. Nothing like having rocks blow up in your face in the fire.
When we're doing blacksmith work, we use coal because it's a reasonably efficient heat source. It's probably more efficient than anything else I'm aware of. You go through a ton of charcoal, just an astonishing amount of charcoal. And we use whatever coal we can get our hands on. I don't know if you were around for dragging the coal out of the basement of that house.
No.
Guy shows up one day in front of the shop. He says, hey, you want some coal? What's it going to cost me? Nothing. You just got to come get it. Well, that's the right price.
You're right.
They were renovating a house. In the basement, they found a wall that didn't make sense. They couldn't figure out why that wall was there.
Right.
So, of course, they ripped it out. When they ripped it out, they found the coal bin.
Hmm.
The coal bin had been boarded up since, like, 1920.
Oh.
Nice coal. 20-inch wide staircase that was more like a ladder than a staircase to drag out about 2.5 tons of coal.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh.
So, you go and you pull out about, you know, maybe a couple 100 pounds a day and be like, you know. And, of course, halfway up the stairs is a beam.
Yeah, hit your head on.
Oh, yeah, every time. Going down, you know, you can kind of lean back. Coming up, because you're carrying that extra weight, you're trying not to lean too much so you don't, you know, fall flat on your face and ski back down the stairs.
Yeah.
So going up, every time on the head, you know.
Yep.
So after, you know, after that, you got a good headache, and you're like, you know what, I'm done for the day. But yeah, we had found a place that had a really good deal on coal, and we found out later why. Oh, I don't remember eating that. Jeez.
Said McDonald's will kill you.
I'll tell you. So, oh, it tastes like salad. That's the weird thing. I know we didn't eat salad today. Was there lettuce in those burgers? I mean, because, geez.
Something lettuce-esque or okay. Lettuce-like, I think.
That's where I'm getting that from. So, we get this coal, and it didn't really occur to me that the place we got it from also sold driveway gravel. What is that stuff? It's not
Dolomite.
Dolomite. Thank you. They had a whole bunch of dolomite just over from the coal, and you know we got it all shoveled into bags and stuff, and we get the fire up, and it just doesn't want to go. And sometimes it happens, you know, weird atmosphere or whatever, you know, you're clogging the pipe or something. All right, that's it. We've had enough of this. So we just start really laying the air to it good and hard. And all of a sudden, there's like this 38 shot. We all duck and cover. We start looking. And there's rocks mixed into the coal. Well, when you heat up rocks that have water soaked into them, that water turns to steam, builds up pressure, and eventually the rock goes, you know, I'm done. I give.
Bang. Yeah. Yeah, which is really exciting when you're sitting there stoking the fire up and heating up a piece of metal, and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting a whole bunch of slag and who knows what else flying all over the place. Kind of like where I got that piece of bronze, I threw it in the fire and didn't know what it was.
Ooh.
Which is real funny, too, as I laid it out in the anvil after it got nice cherry red and hot. Smacked it once with the hammer, and I went, Ian, I think there's might be a fire. And you walk over, you're like, huh, I was looking for that. Oh, man, it's like what the heck?
It's like hitting peanut butter.
Yeah, or peanut butter or butter even or something like that.
Just years back, back in the 80s, I tangled up with a hunk of about half-inch diameter bronze that had been laying with iron so long the surface had rust embedded into it. So I picked it up, you know, and I went through the steel stack and went, huh, look at that. That's a nice chunk of steel right there. It's rusty, so it's obviously steel. A magnet would stick to it because there's enough rust on it.
Right.
And I threw it in the forge. Next thing I know, it's hot where it shouldn't be hot. Well, that should have been the first warning right there.
Right.
You know, heat transfers through copper-based metal a whole lot better than it does through steel. But, you know, I wasn't really paying attention. I don't know how long I stuck it in there for. So I grabbed it and smacked it with a hammer. And same exact thing. Just like hitting peanut butter. So, and it was perfect. I mean, it was an oval, the size and shape of the hammerhead. What are you looking at there? Oh, okay.
Ernie's House of Whoop-Ass.
Yeah. We're sitting here in the middle of, this is our high-tech studio. We've got, you know, all the machines set up in a semicircle here with the mic sitting in the middle of the room. And yeah, it's a good thing we don't have a camera up, because, geez, if we had a camera up, people would be watching it going, really?
Yeah.
You guys can actually do that decent a radio show in that crap of environment? At some point, I'm going to do a whole show on, you know, basically doing your own podcast. We've hit a point with technology. It can be done on just about anything. V started doing a new series called Smoke Signals on his phone.
Oh, cool.
Well,
yeah, that's just crazy what you can do with phones nowadays.
Oh, I know. Just unbelievable. The tech has become so ubiquitous that you know, anybody that wants to do a radio show should be able to.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're proof you don't have to have something to say, so.
Very true.
Let me check time real quick and see where we're at. Yeah, the machine's ignoring me. We're at 33 minutes in, so I'm going to stop it here, and we can go through and throw in a music track somewhere. And then we'll yammer some more, and I'll get the rest of the music track done later.
Cool.
Or after, or what? Yeah, whatever. Whatever I mean. I brought you we'll
Okay, so
I don't think we've actually talked about equipment a whole lot. I mean, we've been, everything through the show so far has been pretty abstract. Hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, of kit stuff. There's a lot of, there's, if you know, you jump on YouTube for any length of time at all, you'll find all kinds of reviews of specific pieces and stuff like that. I know that at one point in Rage's Radio, V started going through and explaining simple basic camping kit.
Right.
Number one piece, especially for them, is a tarp.
Right.
It's ground cover, it's shelter, it's, you know, it's a litter if you have to drag somebody who broke their leg out of the woods. You know,
yep.
it's a lot of stuff. And patrolling goes through and covers, you know, belt, boots, pants, so on and so forth. Really, right. You know, it really does a good job of covering all that kind of stuff. And this show was really intended to cover all of the other stuff, the really simple, basic things that, you know, somebody who's not really, you know, into camping, into, you know, into living in the wild, that kind of stuff, would be having to think about. It was really kind of geared toward people that are just starting out going, wait, the world isn't all that friendly. You know, maybe I need to, you know, get my junk together and be ready for some of this stuff. You know, with the weird weather we've been having lately, the real rough storms this spring, a lot of people are starting to realize, and it was really bizarre because I was watching a live weathercast a couple days ago as this latest band of storms came up through, and the weather guy, one of the big famous national weather guys, actually suggested having a go bag. You know, have some food, have a dry clothes.
Oh, yeah. Well, even today at campus today, there's all kinds of downed trees around on campus and stuff.
Yeah.
So I imagine there's a lot more in different areas and stuff we probably didn't hear about. But yeah, it makes perfect sense. But honestly, I think the best thing that you can tell anyone for any kind of wilderness situation, either they'd be camping or they're stranded, is they got to stay calm.
That's really it.
You know, it's just a matter of trying to stay calm and not freak out and keep yourself together.
That's really it. The line I've used over and over in the show that actually came from one of Sean's shows was fear is the mind killer.
Right.
You know, it really comes down to, you know, if you're afraid, if you freak out, statistically speaking, people in a life or death situation, if they freak out, more often than not will die.
Right.
People in a non-life and death situation will have a much, much less fun time. I mean, how many times have we been out, you know, doing something and something goes wrong, and we just kind of laugh at it.
Yeah.
And other people go, how can you laugh at it? You guys, you know, you blew a tire, the wheel fell off your car, whatever, you know?
Or we, like, almost, you know, burnt down the forge or something like that. Or
we try not to do that.
Yeah, or caught, like, or this thing more so at fair or something like that.
Yeah, we try not to do that, but,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
things happen.
My leg's on fire, you know, what do you do? You laugh at it.
Right.
You know, it's very much one of those things that if you do freak out, it makes a much bigger mess of things. We know some people in a number of different occupations and emergency services. We know a lot of folks that are, you know, ambulance techs and EMTs and surgery techs and stuff. And at no point has somebody panicking ever helped the situation.
No. Well, fair's proof enough of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like when they come up to us in the morning all freaking out about something, or someone comes up to us with something broken or a medical emergency and they're just, you know, running around with their chicken, like their chickens with their heads cut off, and it doesn't help anything. Well, look at that one time at fair where we had those locals running around on the four-wheeler,
mm-hmm.
and watching security run all over.
Yeah, security
fair
was losing their minds
trying to catch up with them. And then they didn't know what to do, in all honesty.
And there was really no threat there. There was no danger there. Their concern was really more than anything else that, you know, possibly they might have been there causing trouble. Well, you know, if they were causing trouble, we'd know about it.
Oh, yeah.
People have been screaming and yelling because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And you can tell the city kids that haven't had to deal with anything, that have lived real sheltered lives, from the country folk. Because the country folk basically, the old joke used to be, where I lived, you called the police just to let them know that it had happened.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't you called 911 to let them deal with it. You called them to let it know it happened. Just so you guys know, by the way. Yeah, that was what the joke was for the longest time. Was,
well, even nowadays, you know, with how things are too, even people that live in the country now are to the point now where they don't know how to really function out in a rural setting.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's getting that way. And it's kind of what I'm trying to hope to fix with this is go through and get people past that living naked in the woods thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, as a society, we're not getting more adept at functioning in dilemma and trauma. You know, we're getting worse at it.
Right. Well, you know, everyone wants everything to be sugar-coated. I think a lot of it has to do with how our society is set up as individualists. And to a point, that's good, but we're reaching the point where that it's becoming more of a hindrance than a help to us.
We don't really understand community anymore.
Right.
You know, how many people really know their neighbors around them? Here's the homework for you this week. Go, if you don't know the people living either side of you, go meet them. Have a community barbecue or something. You know, I mean, think how many times I've been over at Cam's and basically... we haven't mentioned Cam yet. Cam's a friend of ours. Cam is somebody who will come up in future episodes. I'm actually hoping to get him to come in and do a couple episodes with us. Because he's been through all kinds of craziness. He grew up in Alaska, where, you know, nature really is out to get you. Grew up in Alaska. He spent a lot of time in odd, unusual jobs. He was a coroner at the Cook County Morgue at one point. He worked for a funeral home at one point in Alaska.
Car salesman.
He's been a ambulance tech for a while. Been on the fire department on a couple different departments. And now he's the disaster services preparedness coordinator for our region. And so, you know, he's a great resource for, well, if nothing else, what not to do, you know? Because he's seen other people do everything you shouldn't do.
Very true, very true.
And quite honestly, a lot of the stuff that I've used in this show comes from the example of other people doing the wrong thing. And going, you know, if they'd have known, you know, ahead of time, if they'd have thought a little bit ahead of time, they'd be in a lot better situation than they are.
Right. Well, that's another thing, too. I know a lot of people that just even going to hang out with them. It's like, go and meet up with them and say, okay, well, what do you want to do? Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead. And it's like, well, what do you mean? Yeah, you know, and they really don't think too far ahead. I know even to a degree I am guilty of it.
Oh, yeah, everybody is.
But, you know, just even going out and doing stuff or going places and stuff, you know, you should at least have an idea of where you're going and who you're going with and what your intentions are.
And that, you know, leads to what you take with you.
Right. Well, a prime example of it was when the last time we were all hanging out at our cams and those yahoos showed up and they brought that one idiot with them,
mm-hmm.
that was starting to cause problems and start asking questions, and no one had knew who he was. And they said, well, why'd you bring him then? You know?
Well, we didn't think.
Yeah.
He was at the bar and he wanted to party. Well, you know, that's great, but...
Right.
You know, we don't necessarily want somebody who's not thinking around us. I realized, this was a realization I had a while back, and I don't think I consciously did this, but I've surrounded myself with a circle of people who are competent, who can function. And I kind of, to some extent, subconsciously marginalized those who could not. Not so much marginalized as just kind of forgot they existed.
Right.
I sort of made that assumption that everyone else was like us.
Like the whole thing of player characters and NPCs.
Yeah. For those of you who don't, whose concept of gaming extends to just computer games, this may not be necessarily an easy concept to grasp, but in tabletop role-playing games, the player characters are, you know, the characters that you're playing, your persona in this game. And the non-player characters are just sort of there as the background people. If you played any number of online RPGs or things like that, the NPCs are the guys you go to buy equipment and sell stuff and get your quests from and so on and so forth. And quite often, if you click on them enough times, they don't have anything else to say. And in life, you'll discover there really are some NPCs out there. They serve their purpose in their circle, but to you, they may not necessarily. Doesn't make any, you know, any less human. Doesn't make any less people. Some of them are actually really nice folks once you get to know them, but, you know, they may not directly be someone that you want to associate with at this point. And that can change. You know, there's been a number of people along the way that over the years we've gotten to know and went, hey, this, you know, these people are actually all right.
Right.
And there's some we've got to know over the years and went, ooh, I was right the first time.
Right. And not even along that lines, too, I think a lot of the problems with people today, too, is there's very few people that want to put forth the effort to know someone. It's something else we're talking about with social problems with the spread of urbanization and people living in more and more metropolitan areas in comparison to people in rural areas. People in the metropolitan areas are going to have a wider circle or know more people than people in the rural areas. But the problem is the people in the metropolitan setting are going to know these people for specific things. You know, it's kind of like in Fight Club where they're talking on the plane of as a single serving friend. The person only serves like one particular setting, whereas somebody's people in the rural settings, they have multiple uses. You know, there's like almost like deeper kind of relationships and understanding between you and them than with somebody in a metropolitan area. It's like, you know, you can know somebody that is like, you know somebody at the gym and that's it.
Okay.
You know, you don't know them outside of that, but you know, and you're friends with them at the gym or associate with them at the gym, but outside the gym, you don't do anything with them. You don't associate with them at all. Or, you know, you can even say like an accountant or a lawyer, you know them specifically for their job. But outside of their job, you don't have anything to do with them. Whereas like in a rural setting, you can know your neighbor that could be a couple miles away from you or relatively close to you. And you could know them for, you know, being a good mechanic. But at the same time, though, too, they might be good at carpentry or something like that. And, you know, there's more interaction between them than there is.
You have more commonality.
Well, not even so much commonality. It's like it's more so that it's more of a deeper kind of meaning. You know, the relationship of knowing people is multiple, or has multiple levels or multiple connections than just in a metropolitan setting where it's just a single meaning or a single setting in a sense.
Single connection.
Yeah.
Or perhaps even a single interest.
Right.
You know, somebody that you might only see 4 or 5 hours a week or a month.
Right.
Whereas, you know, and I think that kind of comes back to that. We talked about it a little bit before, I think before we did the music break, that we've kind of lost our ability to be a community.
Yeah.
You know, because if you know that Joe down the road, there's a good mechanic and a carpenter and that kind of stuff, you know, you've got enough depth of knowledge of him to realize, yeah, but at the same time, he's also a lousy cook.
Right.
Whereas Steve's a pretty good cook, but he's a you know, a lousy mechanic.
Right.
So you can get together and when Joe the mechanic wants to be the guy at the grill at the 4th of July cookout, you're like, we'll let Steve do it.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, I can see where that, you know. Let's see. Looking at time, I'm going to say we probably got the whole thing in the bag there, so I'm going to probably stop tape here in just a sec, and
right.
We'll probably bang on another one of these. I'm guessing they won't air back-to-back, so I want to thank you for helping me out, Bjorn.
No problems.
We're going to... I think what we're actually going to do is go back and we'll record a show after this one that will air first that introduces you, because you've got some really neat background that I think we need to cover, so...
Okay.
We'll do that. Thanks for listening. I'll throw in the rest of the stuff, the intro and the music and all that stuff, and get this thing put together and up on the server.
Okay. That was the first one we recorded. This will probably be the second one that actually airs. We'll do the intros and stuff in the other episode. It'll all get worked out in the end. That was a kind of a change from what we usually do. Normally we, you know, just cover techniques and equipment and so on and so forth, getting through everyday stuff, but that gives you a little bit of a, hopefully a little more comedic fill-in, since the time slot we're on ran as kind of a comedy time slot. I'm not quite sure how that happened, but you know. Let's see. The outro music and the piece in between is 8 Ball Grifter. You check on Amazon.com, you can get the 8 Ball CD there. Kind of hard to come by their stuff, but it's out there. I want to thank the guys from 8 Ball a great deal for letting us use their stuff. want to thank John personally, especially because he said, you know, yeah, run it and have fun with it and that kind of stuff. So thank you much, guys. And like we were saying early on, you know, it'd be kind of funny if you know, you gave a show to your grandma and she got into the show and started listening, and next thing you know, you come home and your grandma's in 8-Ball and listening to Psychobilly and stuff like that. So, as usual, underneath of the tracks is Sean OTD from Chain Monkey on a Lone Tone. I think we've also got some Poesis mixed in there. You can also find Poesis on a Lone Tone. I'll have the links up on the Rangers Facebook page. And if I can remember or can find a site for 8-Ball, I will throw a link up there so you can get to them. I do know there's a couple of videos on YouTube, so if you search for 8-Ball Grifter, that's spelled out E-I-G-H, however the heck you spell it. 8-Ball Grifter, 8-Ball is one word, Grifter is a separate word. I think one of the tracks we used actually has a video up there, but I'm not 100% sure. So dig around and see what you can find. I want to thank Bjorn for coming in, doing the show with me, and the other one that we recorded, we did two together. I want to thank you for listening. Hopefully you got some laughs out of that, maybe you learned something out of that. Hopefully you can find something in there you can use, misuse, something like that. I want to thank Sim for letting us be on Rant Radio. That's rantmedia.ca. I think I screwed up before and gave you the wrong address on another episode, but it's definitely rantmedia.ca. Lots of good stuff there. Rant Radio Talk, Industrial Punk, lots of different TV shows, every episode of Newsreel ever done, all 500 episodes, all kinds of good stuff. So go there, check that out. If you got a few bucks to spare, hit the donate tab and give some a few bucks to keep things going, keep things running. That'd be great. If you get a chance, stop by our place. That's rangers.com, R4NGER5.com. On the right-hand side, there's a whole lot of links for other media we've produced. Storm the Wire from Avogdu, all the episodes of Rangers Radio, back episodes of A to Z, back episodes of Rangers Oz. Oh, Lordy, I know there's a whole bunch more that I can't remember off the top of my head. You get to watch V go out in wild camp in the backwater of England, and that's back of beyond. And as usual, all of our stuff is Creative Commons, share and share alike, non-commercial, so on and so forth, so feel free to share this. If you got a laugh out of it, great. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at after all? And obviously, we do a lot of silly stuff, and so we're probably worth laughing at just as much as anybody else. Let's see. I can't remember for sure which track we played in the middle there. The outro track is Tiny Bit. I think the middle track was She Left Me for a Girl by 8-Ball. So dig around for those, chase those up. We'll probably throw some more 8-Ball in the other show that will air before this one, episode 10. Other than that, go out in the world. It's turning towards spring in the Northern Hemisphere, so get outside, enjoy the woods, enjoy the weather. Enjoy life in general. When you're sitting at home in front of a computer all the time and not really doing anything, you're not really living, are you? So take that, run with it, treat each other good, try and help each other out. You know, we're all in this together. There's only one race, the human race. Keep your stick on the ice. A bunch of other stuff I can't remember I was going to rip off from somebody else. And all that kind of good stuff. At any rate, with these episodes, you get introduced to one of the guys that I hang out with quite a bit, Bjorn. We'll probably get him to come back in for some other episodes when we get back into our regular format of stuff and do all of our regular style shows. And hopefully listen to two people go back and forth is a little more interesting. I know that in the regular Rangers Radio, when it was a group of guys around the table, there was always kind of some fun interaction between them. So hopefully we managed to capture a little bit of that and gave you a smile, gave you a laugh, gave you, if nothing else, you know, laugh at us for being silly. So at any rate, we're winding down to the end of the hour. Like I say, check us out at rangers.com. Check out rantmedia.ca. Last track here is 8-Ball Grifter. And if you haven't really gotten into rockabilly, psychobilly, that kind of stuff, this is a good intro. It's fun, it's up-tempo, and hopefully it makes you smile. So have a good one. Talk at you later. IA out.